Think about the last few social gatherings you've attended. Think about it. Maybe you invited people over. Maybe you received an invitation. Just think about one of those gatherings. Who was sitting around the table? Were they people much like you or different from you? People the same age, shape, color? People with the same hobbies and interests? People with the same education in the same tax bracket? Think about that gathering. How would you describe it? Would you say it was diverse or homogeneous? Inclusive or exclusive? Today's epistle lesson contains a rather familiar section, that institution of the Lord's Supper, that's often read when we celebrate communion. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, these words from Paul give us our earliest written reference for Holy Communion. While the Gospels also retell the story and speak about the meal in much greater detail, they come a full 20 to 30 years later. This institution is, I think, familiar to most of us, but the context in which we find it is pretty foreign. Paul has set the institution in the middle of a reprimand, a rebuke. To understand what's going on, what you need to know is that the way we celebrate Holy Communion is not the way the church always celebrated it. What we heard today, and if you look over those words that Dave read for us, the sacramental acts of Holy Communion took place in connection with a common meal or love feast that was sort of in imitation of the Last Supper. So for the Corinthians, Holy Communion wasn't a token meal, right? But a full-on meal. It wasn't shared in a church, but a private home. And from what we hear of how the Corinthians were practicing it, well, it wasn't a particularly holy event. Instead of sharing the meal at the same time, some started before the others. Instead of eating it together as one body, some were eating privately. In the end, some got drunk, others went hungry, some were honored, while others were humiliated. Differences in wealth and social standing were creating divisions in Christ's family. Maybe this isn't so surprising when you consider the surrounding Roman culture. British New Testament scholar N.T. Wright notes that many rich people in the ancient world prided themselves on showing hospitality to the less well-off. They often did so in a way which let others know they were inferior. Sometimes they had a small main dining room for themselves and their closest friends where the most excellent food and wine were served, and then another room or a sequence of rooms with food and drink of poorer quality. Wright argues that it seems that in Corinth, the rich hosts, whose houses were large enough for a Christian meeting, were continuing this social practice at the Lord's Supper itself. Now, we can barely imagine that, right? It would be hard for us to fathom hosting a meal where guests are treated differently on the basis of their income or social status, where some are served filet mignon at a table set with silverware and fine china, and others are handed bologna sandwiches wrapped in paper, handed out the back door. We don't do that, right? But I think we all make similar distinctions. Where we discriminate is with our invitations. Some people get invited to the party while others don't. Well, for Paul, he's not on with this sort of discrimination, especially as it relates to the Lord's Supper. He tells the Corinthians that their meetings are doing more harm than good. He tells the Corinthians that their actions are despising the church. Imagine that. Imagine our session getting a letter from Presbytery saying that St. Andrew's is doing more harm than good. You might as well just close the doors. You're not helping the surrounding community. That would really sting, wouldn't it? Of course, Paul isn't interested in putting the Corinthians down. He's interested in reforming their practice, even if he needs to shock them to do it. And so he takes them back to the beginning to consider the institution of the Lord's Supper. Paul lays it out for them to remind them that it's sacred. And Paul lays it out for them so they can see the stark contrast between this special act of Jesus and their own actions. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus offers himself to all his disciples. "This is my body, which is broken for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Jesus' meal is about self-giving and self-sacrifice. By contrast, the meal at Corinth, it's about socializing with one's equals or one's betters. The meal isn't about Jesus' gift or even Christian community, but comfort, satisfaction, and private ambition. Paul warns them against participating in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, that it would be a sin against the body and blood of Jesus. And Paul warns them against eating without discerning, considering the body of Christ. That is, eating without regards for Christ's presence and eating without regards for the surrounding community. He says that would bring judgment. Now, for those who were here last week, you will recall that when we serve communion, that everyone is given the same small token meal. You may note that the leadership is served last, and that everyone eats together in the same place at the same time, except for maybe the nursery, but they're part and parcel in this building. But let me ask you a question. What about those gatherings we have in our own private homes? Do we discern Christ's body there? Or is this something we only do at church? Think again about the last few social gatherings you attended. Maybe you were hosting and maybe you were being hosted. Was the diversity of Christ's family present there? Maybe someone quite wealthy and someone quite poor, someone well-educated and someone who never got through high school, someone whose family immigrated generations ago, and someone just off the plane, newly arrived. Was that gathering inclusive, or was it exclusive? Now, you may be thinking to yourself, "Pastor, come on, it's only natural. It's only natural that we would associate with those who are most like us." You're right. It is only natural. But in Christ, we are a supernatural new creation. Christ has made us one body. And discerning the whole body including those whom the world often overlooks, is the way of Christ. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Imagine, if you will, all the people of the earth in one line. All 7 billion of us. All the people of the earth lined up according to status, wealth, and power. Think of where you are standing. Imagine who's in front of you. Imagine who's behind you. Maybe somewhere you spot a TELUS executive, or maybe you see a group of Syrian refugees. Everyone is lined up one after another. So where are you in the line? Most of us are probably thinking we're somewhere in the middle. Here's the more important question. Which direction are you facing? Are you looking towards those with greater wealth, status, and power? Or those who have less wealth, status, and power? You can open your eyes again. You don't have to answer this out loud, but think to yourself, so which direction were you facing? I think it's our natural inclination to be looking towards those with wealth, status, and power, to look towards people who society regards to be important, people with whom people who have the things that we want. But what about Christ? Was he looking to get something, or was he looking to give something? This is my body. It's broken for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Could it be that our truest act of worship this week will be to simply notice when we are looking forward? Simply notice. And then to turn our attention to those who are behind us. To turn around. Could it be, and I'll put what Paul says in a positive way, could it be that health and strength will be found there? Well, may God help us to live as Jesus lived, and may we discern this body of Christ. Amen.